You're listening to Sci-Fi for Chicks on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Morning, Los Angeles. Hope you got your flu shot. Reports in five states that a strange virus is going around. So if you're not feeling well, go home, take care of yourself.
Got a kid that's sick today. Thought you were another victim.
No, I got my flu shot.
The authorities would tell us.
Welcome to the boob tube version of Sci-Fi for Chicks as we talk about some of our favorite TV shows that we are watching. This is an episode by episode thing. And right now we're going to be talking about AMC's new series, Fear the Walking Dead. My name is Heather French and I'm joined by fellow deadhead Doreen Shadle. Hey,
hello.
Doreen. Hello. I'm saying like hi to you. Like we haven't seen each other. We've just been sitting here. Watching
for the last hour and a half on the edge of our seats.
Exactly. We are recording this moments after the episode aired. And if you know anything about me, here's the odd thing. I didn't take one note, not one.
It's amazing.
Yvette would be very disappointed in me, but I want this to be like really fresh and urgent and right away kind of a thing. So we're going to be talking about Fear the Walking Dead, season one, episode one, pilot. Love that original name there.
Gee, I wonder if it'll get picked up.
Yeah, I wonder. I'm calling this one Walkers in L.A.
I don't know. That might have a copyright.
No, because, yeah, I did change it, and I didn't sing it, but nobody walks in L.A., but there are walkers in L.A. We have seen them. So first question to you, Doreen.
Yes.
Did we need this series? I mean, I wanted this series. I wanted to know what happened before.
I think the fans need it, yes. I do. I mean, sure, we all wanted it. We wanted further explanation about how this all started, but yeah, we need it.
Looking back, because we just got Jennifer hooked on The Walking Dead just a few months ago, and I tried watching the first episode of Walking Dead again, and I couldn't make it all the way through, because even though I'm used to all the gore, like Noah being pressed up against the glass and Glenn watching him getting torn apart, I'm like, oh, look at that. That looks so good. I couldn't watch that whole first pilot because it was so creepy and started with this normalness. Mm-hmm. And then Rick is out and you're coming back to zombie child and, you know, partial zombie on the bike and all this. And it really started creeping me out. And I was wondering if I would get that from this too. There are a lot of tweets out there because we are going to try and live tweet and such when we watch this. But there were a lot of tweets out there about how slow it was. And I loved it. This slow burn creeped me out.
Yeah. It's not going to happen that quickly. And well, once it does, it's going to be really quick. So we do need a little bit of a slow intro to kind of build that excitement and that wonder. And I mean, this is the beginning. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is going to be a little slow because it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take place, you know, parts of the country. Like Tobias pointed out, they've already had some cases elsewhere.
Five states, I think he said.
Not sure what's going on. And yeah, and then when it hits, it's like a wildfire.
And in The Walking Dead, I mean, like we said, we see this normal life that Rick has, and then he's in this accident, and then he's drug-induced coma thing, and he comes back, and we're already do not open dead inside. And we don't have that. It is, especially the Nick character, I'm really, and I hate to say that I'm really liking this meth head or whatever it was he was on. I like watching him try and figure this out. We're actually watching him because it's playing again.
Yes.
And it's the scene right now where he's talking with Travis, his mother's boyfriend, and trying to convince, well, tell him what's happening. He's not even trying to convince him because he doesn't know. I love that he says that he, you know, basically he hopes it's the powder, because if it's not the powder, then it's him and then he's crazy because this can't be real. And watching him, having already descended into drugs, to descend into this other thing, it's more suspenseful, I think, than even Rick just suddenly waking up and there's dead everywhere. Yeah. He's got to figure
it
out.
And he's like scratching his head.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then his parents, of course, or Travis and his mom anyway, you know, everyone's thinking it's the drugs. And he is just adamant that it's not. So.
Yeah. You wish it was the drugs, because this is just, how do you believe this? How do you, you know, I wouldn't know, but you wake up and you think you're in this safe place. Hey, Glow, where are you? And to see her, something we're really not used to, because, you know, being in season five, getting ready for six of Walking Dead, like they always say, we're used to these these walkers.
Decomposing.
Yeah, they're old, they're decomposing, we've got the humidity and the heat. This is L.A., which can be hot, but it's a dry heat. That's what everybody said to me when I lived out there. At least it's a dry heat. Yeah, to see her fresh.
Yeah.
And other than it looks like she's got the blood splatter kind of thing on her and the thing coming out of her gut there. It's just crazy. We're at the point now where in our kind of rewatch in the background where Travis has decided to go check out the church den there. Why the heck did he go back there at night alone? This is
really concerning me. I can't believe he's that foolish.
Especially since he's talking about Jack London later in Survival and stuff. Survival 101. You don't go into a place like that without any backup. He does meet the one other meth-heady kind of guy that was trying to hide from him and is like, oh, don't get me, and he runs away. Even though he was stupid about going, I like that he did go.
Yes.
Because he wanted to.
He wanted to see what, if Nick was telling the truth. Because you know what? You could see, I'm sure growing up around Nick, but he's around Nick, so he knows what Nick is like. And he probably really saw the fear in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just like, okay, I know he's a drug addict and he can be dramatic, but he really believed what he saw and the fear that he had. So he did want to check it out.
Yeah, was it there was paint around? There's red paint or, you know, somebody did get cut, but it's not a big deal. When he stumbled into that maggot puddle of blood and guts and stuff, that was the moment I'm like, okay, this is one that I don't think we're going to have this constant, I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be these blinders on that people are stupid, especially with the things that are going to be continuing to happen. I mean, they're setting up really good, too. We just saw, too, where Nick is tied up in the bed.
Yeah.
And then we have the curtain pulled and you see the silhouette of the old guy that's dying. I've never thought, and I hate to say this because it sounds so bad, but Code Blue has never been more terrifying for me on a TV show or something like that, because I'm like, I don't want to hear those words. Get me out of these restraints. Like I said, start eating through your restraints.
Well, and luckily it didn't go that way. I mean, they wheeled him out. If he wouldn't have gotten out of the restraints in general, he would have been okay. But yeah, that's not where my mind was going. I was just like, get out of there.
What I like is that was a good fake out for us.
Yeah.
Because we thought, oh my gosh, this is what's going to happen.
Exactly.
So I like that they're twisting that too, that they're giving us what we expect and then flipping it on its head. So yeah, you think this is what's going to happen? You think you know? I kind of like Tobias. Let's talk about him real quick. Here's this pimply faced geeky guy. I'm sure he's like the nerd. He's one of us.
Yeah,
back then, you know, he would have been one of our peeps trying to come in with a knife into the security metal detector things.
Yeah.
And Madison kind of saves his butt.
She does. I was kind of waiting for the typical somebody was bullying him or somebody was giving, you know, and he totally spilled the beans, so to speak.
Yeah, he doesn't know what's happening, but he knows something's happening. And not the flu. This is not a show that you want to start watching during flu season when they're all telling you to get your flu shots. Because now I'm thinking, is that what's in the flu shots now? Is that how we all get this? Is because we're all going out and getting
the
our
flu shots? Yeah, I mean, because it is in your system.
Yeah.
That's what we learned from Walking Dead.
Maybe it's all maybe it's all the different flu strains they keep putting in us that do something.
Maybe.
I've just started to panic. I like, though, that it's the geek guy that's starting to put this together. He knows if I say it, if I say something out loud, they're not going to believe me. And so that's when he's like,
he's very hesitant.
You're right. I'm just online too much and I'm making too much of this.
Yeah.
Can I go? That look though he gives when it's half day.
Oh.
I'm like, please don't tell me you're going to be walker meat.
Well, here's a note from my friend Misty, who has a son named Tobias. And I asked her if she watched the show tonight and she tweeted back and said, yes, we loved the Tobias character. Her son, Tobias, said that Tobiases are always right, and the show proved it. So,
Tobies
are always right. Always listen to Tobies.
So maybe we need to follow Tobies and meth heads in the
zombie
apocalypse. They know what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that this is a family drama. We're seeing the family thing right off.
Yeah.
And they're now thrown into this. I mean, first off, they have the problems as it is being this blended family, even though they're not married yet. I don't think you're going to get married unless you do one of those nature commitment ceremonies.
Or the Glenn and Maggie thing, where you just find a ring off somebody's finger and just do it.
Exactly. Because that's one thing is Walking Dead really started out as the Rick Grimes story and then added people in. And you still pretty much wherever Rick goes is where you go.
Yeah.
You might stray off the path a little bit, but you always come back. If Rick's heading off to somewhere, that's where you're heading.
Yeah.
And this is one I don't know where they're going because it could go with Madison. It could go with Travis. It could go with Nick. It could. We've already seen Nick goes off on his own.
Yeah. Well, and it's just the odds of the whole family being together and surviving as a whole are just kind of slim.
Mm-hmm.
As, like I said, as what we've seen in the Walking Dead. So you're worried about, are we going to lose somebody and how soon? And I'm sure at some point you're going to get split up or I don't know. It's, you know, you're like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen?
Well, in kind of a jump ahead, since you brought it up, Walking Dead is known for not keeping around their main characters. And right now we don't, I mean, other than really Madison, Travis, and Nick, I mean, to some extent, Alicia, his sister.
Yeah.
But really, Madison, Travis, and Nick are the three that I think are set up that are definitely safe through this season.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else, I would say, and through this season, remember, this season's only six episodes long. So that's not that far that I'm giving them. How soon do you think we might see one of these other regular cast? I mean, we have the sister, we have Travis's son, we have his ex-wife, we have coming in are the Salazars. We'll have some more recurring cast. We have Alicia's boyfriend, Matt, who, and they're considered recurring cast. Calvin was not listed as a recurring cast. But how soon do you think we're going to see somebody go? And do you think we'll see a lot of people go from this? I mean, how many people really could be safe?
Oh, that's a tough one. But knowing Walking Dead creators, someone definitely is going to go by season finale. I don't know how many, but I wouldn't be surprised if one of these characters gets taken out.
Yeah.
Hopefully not one of the main family because, but I don't know. I mean, they totally keep it on edge like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we should place a bet.
Who's the first to go? Get a
wager going and... You know, make a game out of it, or a drinking game somehow,
You know, I'm hoping that Tobias is going to be safe for a while, because I think he is that... They call him the wise beyond his years senior, who believes that the outbreak is doomsday.
Yes.
I think you need to have that.
He's prepared.
Yeah.
Well,
he's ready to believe.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have people that don't... I mean, even at the end, when we have the Calvin thing, which I don't think you've seen Blood Diner. Have you seen Blood Diner?
No.
It's this movie from late 80s that there was a guy that I liked that was in it. He played, I think, Leather Boy number 2, if you want to get technical about his name. But it's this cheesy, labad film that is just so fabulously labad. We'll have to watch it sometime. We'll have to find a VCR, though.
Okay.
It still works.
I'm sure it's online somewhere.
But there's this scene where one of the guys... is, you know, we have like the undead guy that's coming back and he just keeps driving over and back and forth and back and forth. Uh-huh. And that's what I'm looking at, like with Nick as he's hitting
Calvin
back and forth. They asked in the story sync, you know, would you have Nick on your team? I mean, he survived 2 infected attacks.
Yeah.
Well, I say yes.
Yeah, I was hesitant at first, but I see your point. I would say yes, too.
I mean, he's ready to take action. Here's Travis and Madison. Calvin, let me help you, because they think Calvin's a good guy.
Yeah. Parents don't know any.
Parents aren't. Yeah, the ones that are the cleanest cut, those are the ones you really need to
be. That's right.
A little sketchy about. They're trying to go help him. No, don't get in there. He just takes action.
Yeah.
Really took action.
Well, he saw that, I guess, seeing his girlfriend firsthand, you know, in that situation. He just, whatever drugs were in his system, he probably totally snapped right out of it, you know, and it was just like, I honestly believed him when he said, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm stopping. I'm done. After what he saw, it was so shocking. So.
I did like he had a line that it's like, do you mean it? And he says, I always do. And that is such an honest statement coming from somebody that is an addict.
Yeah.
That I always mean it when I say it. There's something in him that I think he's going to have that survivor mentality. I think he's going to be one that, not the Daryl Dixon of the group, but he's going to have that kind of survivor. He's going to make it through. Mm-hmm. I think him and our two leads, Travis and Madison, really are the safe ones. Everybody else,
No, can't foresee.
Yeah, I don't know if they're setting up Alicia and Matt to be kind of our Glenn and Maggie. We have to have some sort of innocent love kind of thing.
I don't know, I'm kind of worried though because, you know, black characters don't tend to stay around. Yeah. And I'm not trying to be, you know.
Not on The Walking Dead. They do not have much luck. They really
But
don't.
I can't really say that because a lot of people on that show don't have a lot of luck.
No, but they do. That is one thing that they are kind of known for. We do have much more diversity already in Fear the Walking Dead, though, being in Los Angeles and East LA, as it is, too. So that's nice to see. A problem I do have is a technical thing.
Okay.
This pilot was shot in Los Angeles, and the remaining five episodes were shot in Vancouver. And Vancouver, I lived in Los Angeles. Vancouver looks nothing like Los Angeles.
And I've been to Vancouver. It looks nothing like Los
Angeles. You've been to both as well. I wish they had kept the production American, especially since Walking Dead is so steadfastly filmed in the South. Dallas could pass for LA better than Vancouver can, and we wouldn't mind the work here as well. But, you know, I'm just sticking up for our industry there, you know, so.
Yeah.
It's a small complaint. What do you think about some of this foreshadowing they have? Right now, they've got the Jack London build a fire sequence that they're talking about.
Man versus nature, and nature always wins. Yeah.
Are they hitting us over the head a little bit with some of these things that are going on, and like these allegories in life that you're studying in school that are suddenly coming to pass?
I guess so. I mean, they're good at kind of doing that, the foreshadowing and the... And I think from watching The Walking Dead now, we pay more closer attention to that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And it's in such a different situation where in The Walking Dead, you're out in the Georgia or, you know, the South woods and things like that. These towns that have been abandoned for months or now years.
Yeah.
Here, we're still in high school. We're still on the streets of L.A. By the way, that traffic jam, totally believeable. Totally. I never would have thought anything was wrong.
Well, they got something right, huh?
I never would have thought anything was wrong. I should have looked to see which highway they were on, but I was too busy tweeting, I think, and I looked up, oh, yeah. I totally believe the helicopters. Yeah, you tweeted out something about...
That's how I kept hearing the sirens and the helicopters.
That's L.A.
I kind of figured as much, but knowing what was going on in the world, so to speak, I was like, I really focused on them. I wondered if that meant anything.
What meant anything?
The words on the door in the classroom, they kind of focus on those words on the door. So I was wondering if that was some kind of foreshadowing or, you know, just a little... plug somehow.
We're still in the Jack London sequence, and as the camera is going out, I had the words on the door. I've got to look again.
Yeah.
They might, because when he goes into the church drug den there, up on the wall was a big red Y with a question mark.
And here's the question mark, too.
And there's another big red question mark on his blackboard as he's talking about the survival thing.
See right here.
Yeah, now Madison's kind of pulling away, and it says space line vertical
horizon.
And horizon, and they did focus on that one quite a lot. I think they're having fun with the fact that they can have a lot of these visual foreshadowings that you couldn't have when society's already crumbled and things are breaking down and the jungle type thing is already taking over. They've done things on like the Discovery Channel and such, saying it really wouldn't take that long for nature to claim back our cities.
Mm-hmm.
It really wouldn't. So it's totally believable. This was a great scene when she's walking up on Artie, the principal, or as Doreen keeps calling him, Obama.
I call him Obama.
I'm sure he's played an Obama president.
Yeah, I probably have seen him before playing Obama somewhere.
But when he's listening to, you know, doing the checkup on the teachers and things, that was another good fake out, kind of like the hospital one. Yeah, you're right. There's that big red question mark on his board. So I think they're having fun because there's so many things you can't do on The Walking Dead anymore because of what's happened. Yeah, you do get these great visuals. I love when Nick's breaking out and he steals the old guy's clothes and he looks like such, you know.
A homeless person.
Yeah, so transient. I mean, here the clothes are clean, but they don't fit him. You know, everything's bunchy.
Well, and he looks like crap.
Yeah,
you know,
he
does.
Pull up your pants. Yeah, at least with the old guy's things. They might have been too big, but he had a belt. So. Pants weren't falling down. Some improvement there, I guess. We noticed the falling down pants. I'm actually really impressed so far with this. And I know we've only seen the first episode. I think there's only been the first two episodes going out in screeners. We are not watching the screeners. I want to watch it live with everybody else and get that instant reaction.
Yeah, I was really happy, impressed with it, and I liked the first episode.
I think it's got a good place to go. They're teasing us. There is a teaser for next week's episode. That does kind of tease that maybe one of our people will die, but I don't think so because this person is listed in recurring cast, and yeah. I don't think two episodes really counts as a recurring yeah. cast. But yeah, so these were filmed early in the year. I think they were done filming by mid-February. And by early March, AMC already picked up the series
yeah.
for a second season. I think that shows that not just that they have the confidence in the franchise, but they have the confidence in the show. They had to have at least seen the rough edit of this. Mm-hmm. And I can see why they'd renew this.
Yeah.
She's getting sucked in by the
I am. I'm watching it again.
I know. It's like we're about to do a play-by-play commentary, but no, we're really going to try and keep these to half an hour. So
yeah. No, it was a great first show, and I definitely, if I hadn't been a Walking Dead fan and just saw this, I would definitely want to see the next one.
Do you think this will get new Dead fans? Or do you think it's just going to be something to add on to people that are already watching?
I think there's potential for new Dead fans, sure. I mean, I don't know how to back up what I just said, to be honest with you. I mean, I just think it would. You know, you got a couple younger kids in here, so you're going to attract some of the teenagers a little bit more. Although, depending on their parents, if they want them to watch something like this.
Well, Toby is.
Toby is, yes, but not everybody's parents are like my friend Misty.
No.
But no, you got the teenage girl, you got the teenage high school romance, you got the drug addict kid who is kind of cute if you clean him up, you know? So it probably would attract maybe a younger crowd, you know, get some young fans into it.
I wonder if that we just saw as Nick's escaping, he looks in on a woman who's got a guy that's resting his head on her bed and she's patting his head. And it's like, oh, that's so sweet. Wait, I wonder if that guy just died.
Well, it almost looked like he had blood on his
face.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. I just noticed that and it did look like he had. So I'm like, I wonder if something's happened to him. Because, you know, we're getting out of the hospital now with our big oversized old man shoes and
used hankies in the pocket.
Used hankies in the pocket. Some nice little touches in there. I think they are having fun with this and they're making it where it could be something that could latch on to more people because, face it, the first episode of Walking Dead, we don't see a walker until halfway through the episode, really.
Yeah, yeah.
This one, we start off within the first 3 minutes. Yeah. You've seen them and we have somebody running in terror.
Yeah. And I think that was smart of them to do that, to have a walker right away.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of get the things, get it kicked off and then back up to the normal world.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. And he runs out and he gets hit dead on by the real, well. The world he used
to know.
A real
person,
yeah. As opposed to the world that's about to come. It's
yeah.
This really fun juxtaposition that they've got, I think, going. And I think they can really play on that and have some fun doing these plays to really get us in there. It doesn't look, though, like it's going to take that long for things to really fall apart.
I don't think so.
The preview for next week does show Madison and Tobias scavenging for food from the cafeteria in the school.
Yes.
So we know we're breaking down at least there, that they already know, hey, we got to get some stuff. And Tobias, woohoo, is leading the charge. Help. No, like she's like, just leave. And he's like, no, we need every can we can get. He's a smart kid. So I hope he sticks around.
I do too. I like him.
So you have any predictions for next week? Or are we going to have much explosion into this world? Are we going to have any more deaths? I mean, we have had Calvin. I'm not going to say Gloria counts because she was gone before the show really even started. But we did have Calvin, the nice, clean-cut guy.
Oh, there's going to be more. There's definitely going to be more.
But in the next episode, are we going to have some more, you think? Or can Kirkman hold back for an episode?
Oh, for like a main character?
Well, for anybody, you know, anything that more than just Gloria. Yeah, she might have a name, but we don't really talk to her.
I think they're going to... I think they're going to start this with a bang. I really do.
Yeah. And we have Sandrine Holt, who is in quite a few shows that we watch, including most recently she's been on The Returned, where she plays Julie, the doctor with, God, I forget, I want to say Louis, but that's in the French version. I forget what she calls him. What does she call him? The little boy in The Returned.
Oh, Victor.
Victor. That's right. I should definitely remember that one. She's really making a name for herself, I think, in some of these quirky, odd roles. And she always plays like a doctor or a nurse or somebody that has this. So that I'm looking forward to seeing her in there. We're going to have Reuben Blades coming in here as Daniel Salazar. So we've got some really fun people that are coming in. And I'm really looking forward to seeing this continue, especially with somebody like Kim Dickens. I mean, Kim Dickens and Cliff Curtis, who play Madison and Travis, they really are a great pair.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing I'm most excited about with this show is the fact that it did start out the Rick Grimes show. This starts off and we have a woman who is right there in the forefront that she's ready to go. We've got some women that are really poised to be strong characters, not developing strong like we had with Carol, who we adore Carol and, you know, all these other great characters on that. But we're starting off with people that are
She's a strong female lead.
Sure. Definitely. On the quiz, I said she was adaptable. Yes. She's not armed and ready, but she's adaptable.
No, but she's adaptable. I mean,
I'm ready to see her kick some butt.
She will. You'll see it.
I am so ready
Once
to see
it. Once they, you know, kind of wrap their heads around what this is, or, well, I don't know if they'll figure out what it is quite yet, but the fact that this is really happening and, you know, because the fact that she didn't freak out that much when, you know, Nick said he shot Calvin.
Yeah.
And then when he ran him over, you know, I kind of thought, yeah, he was attacking them, but there was still that moment of, you know, when he got run over by the truck, I just expected her to be like, oh my God, like, what are you doing?
But it's like the crying and
like she knew right away that what the heck is going on here? Yeah. You know, kind
of
thing.
Exactly. No matter how bad her son is, how big of a meth head and disappointment. I mean, she was ready to just give up on him. She knows that, wait a second, there's something here. So it's going to be nice to see these strong female characters right from the beginning. And I think we'll get some of that too, like Elizabeth Rodriguez, who plays the ex-wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Little Orange is the New Black action. She doesn't play weak women. So I'm looking forward to seeing.
She'll be a tough cookie, I think, too.
Yeah, when she comes out. It's going to be interesting. Next week is So Close Yet So Far. We actually have an episode title for that one.
All right.
And we will be back to watch that and record right after. Do make sure and go over to scififorme.com and check out, as we call them, Team Zombie. They will be doing their written post. Actually, they kind of get together and they talk and they record it, but then they do the transcript. So it's a reading thing that you can do. And that's with Tim and Dustin and a few others over there. So see what they think. But I mean, I would say on my scale, this is really pretty high up, more than a solid premiere. This definitely has me ready for next week and ready for more and really glad already that they renewed it for a season two.
Well, I think the producers, they know what they're doing with this. I mean, they've worked on Walking Dead for 5 seasons, 6 coming up. They know, they listen to the fans. They know what's what. They know what they're doing. So I didn't see that in the first
round. Missing one. Yeah, we're about to drive by and see the, is it a walker in the park? Is that a walker or is that a bum? I don't know. Because I'm like, this is L.A., so I could see it. But, you know, again.
Well, they're keeping you guessing.
They're keeping you guessing. So if you see a guy with, like, a little paper pirate hat on, we'll find out later. But, again, why do you guys have to go back to the den? The drug den? Without any... Okay, there's a few things, but that's just, they're still being ever hopeful
like,
humans.
Bring a baseball bat or a crowbar.
This is when Daryl needs to call them and go, you know, get a clue.
Get Daryl. Daryl needs to be with you.
Oh, and that is one other thing. I like the fact that there's going to be no crossovers.
Oh, yeah.
With Walking Dead.
There shouldn't be.
Which, considering the civilization is going to fall really quick, you know, I even think about how long it would take to get, like, where you live and where I live. Which is just like a 20-minute drive. Mm-hmm. If this were 100 years ago, Doreen, we would really rarely see each other. So I can imagine if you have friends or family that, first off, getting out of Southern California is hard enough as it is. But to get cross-country, to find out news somewhere else in the world, we're going to go back to those really remote days. And it's going to be interesting to see the people in L.A. try to cope with this. Yeah. We will be back next week to talk about Fear the Walking Dead, So Close Yet So Far. We might even have, in some of these future episodes, a few other guests join us to talk about this. Yay!
Yeah.
We would love to know what you think. You can let us know. Email scififorchicks@scififorme.com. We'd love to hear your questions and comments. You can call our hotline, 573-427-2434. That's 573-42-SCIFI. And of course, please go over and follow us on Twitter at scififorchicks. We are going to try and live tweet every week. And don't forget to also subscribe to us on iTunes or the podcast platform of your choice. Look for Sci-Fi for Chicks and Sci-Fi for Me Radio so that you won't miss a single episode of any of our podcasts, including the Women of Genre series, where we talk about some female characters in our favorite TV shows, movies, books, and more. Doreen, Jennifer and I did one on the Women of the Walking Dead, and we'll have that come out in a few weeks there, so definitely check that out. It was great watching this with you, Doreen, and then Squeen over the undead.
Oh, yes. Dead. No, I truly enjoyed it. Had a blast.
We'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.